Heavenly Father, it's an honor to be able to be with your people tonight. And now as we open the Word of God to read and to listen and to study, would you make our hearts soft, fertile ground for the Word of God? Would you speak to us tonight, Lord? Convict us where we need to be convicted. Persuade us, Lord, how important it is to dedicate our lives and to clean our lives out by the blood of Christ and to live lives that will bring honor to Thee. It's a serious matter, Lord, when we think that we're going to live for eternity somewhere. And I pray that You would help us tonight to have open hearts. And whatever You have to say to us, Lord, may we take it as obedient children who want to hear from heaven. Bless Brother Randy tonight as he comes, Lord. Keep his mind clear and his heart focused, and speak through him to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be interested, I thought about it as we were singing that battle hymn of the Republic. How many of you know when and under what circumstances Julia Howe wrote that? She was a nurse in the Civil War who worked with the Northern forces. And if you'll read that, it's full of Civil War in 100 camps. Christ was born amid the lilies across the sea. One word has been changed in this book. As He died to make men whole, it used to be, let us die to make men free. Today it's live. They've changed it. I must have got a feminist in on that one. But if you'll read that hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and fit it into the Civil War, it's an entirely new thing. She certainly had to have God to help her to write something like that, in view of what she said there. We sing it so often, and we don't know what's going on. The subject tonight is in the form of a question. And the question is a question that I put to myself about maybe 30 years ago when we were in Africa. And that is, why was Jesus baptized? Can you answer that question? Why was the Son of God baptized? And oddly, Kenny was talking about the harmony of the Gospels. I'm going to bring this message out of my old harmony that I've been using for 34 years. Now, it's a bit grubby, as they say in South Africa. So I'm using the four Gospels in harmony form. Now, what does that mean? When you study any of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you know, you read something in Matthew and you say, now, did Mark say that? And there'll be a little reference and you flip over there and find Mark. You say, did Luke say that? And you put a finger there and a finger there. And then when you find Luke, your finger slips out and you lose the other two. You know? Is that the way it works with you? So you have to put pieces of paper in there. Now, a harmony of the Gospels eliminates that. For example, everything that's said about the life of Christ is in vertical columns. Now, let me show you this now. Now, this is the old Dr. Davis harmony. This was printed over 100 years ago. The old lead type, a lot of the things are wrong at the bottom. But you can tell. I look about like that does, I guess. So, for example, if you want to read about the temptation of Christ, why run from Matthew over to Mark over to Luke? Why don't you get a book that's got all three of them in vertical columns, and you can read right across and read all of them at the same time? I mean, unless you enjoy running around making a mess out of things. Read them all three at the same time. Read what Matthew said there, Mark said, Luke said. If John said it, John said it. If it didn't, it's not there. Now, that's a harmony, harmonize, bring together the four Gospels. Now, we're familiar with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. About 55 years ago, I went to a meeting. There were a man and his wife with four sons who were singers. I'll never forget it. The boys are named Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've often wondered whatever became of those boys. They'd be old men now. So, in the four Gospels, now Matthew wrote 28 chapters, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21, a total of 89 chapters, 3,997 words, verses, four Gospels. Now you got to remember, in looking at any subject in the four Gospels, if you're a preacher or a teacher or you love to study the Bible, you'll make a drastic mistake by just reading maybe what Matthew said and don't add with it what Mark and Luke said or John said. You understand? And I'm going to tell you, I don't have good much anymore, but my ears are still pretty good. And I hear men preach on the radio, and they'll preach on some great subject. I say, why in the world? And you go to the other two Gospels and give us a whole story. Here's an illustration. You're familiar with the parable of the sower, S-O-W-E-R, you know, man went forth to sow. I used to sow seed as a kid out of a bag, walking, sowing it. Now, the parable of the sower is recorded in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. Now, if you preach on the parable of the sower or teach and just give what Matthew said, you've only given one third of the truth. Because there's two more thirds, you should get all Matthew said, all Mark said, all Luke said, and you've got everything the Bible says about the parable of the sower. Now, I mean, we can understand that, can't we? So that's valuable of a harmony of the God. One thing we laid on our students in Australia, boy, I tell you, I was cruel. I laid it on. You get you a harmony or I'll run you off or something. And well, we'd help them get it too, harmony of the gospel. So, tonight we're talking on the question, why was Jesus baptized? Now ask yourself, could you intelligently stand up and give an answer to that in 8 minutes or write a paper on it and give a biblical answer why he was baptized? So I'm going to speak to you tonight about that, but I'm going to use everything Matthew said, everything Mark said, everything Luke said. John didn't mention the actual baptism. Why? He wasn't inspired to. Why did the other three mention it? They were inspired to. I get frustrated. I guess I'm getting old and cranky, but I get frustrated at these preachers and teachers, and they say, well, I wonder why it's this way, I wonder why it's that way. Hey, did you ever hear a thing called inspiration? There's your answer right there. Inspiration. And inspiration is a curious thing. So, we have the four Gospels. So, turn with me to Matthew's account in chapter 3 and verse 13. That's the Matthew 3:13. That's an easy one to find. Why was Jesus, our Lord, baptized? Matthew 3:13. I'm going to read Matthew's version. Now listen to this for you. Well, here's one for you. The baptism of Christ is given in only 11 verses. Matthew records 5 of them. Mark 5 of them. Mark 3 of them, Luke 3 of them, 5:33. The baptism of Christ is packaged in 11 verses. Matthew 5, Mark 3, Luke 3. 11 verses. Isn't that something? Now you'd think God would be like a preacher and take 900 verses, but not so. So we're going to read the one who was inspired to give the longest account, and that was Matthew. Can anybody tell me what Matthew was prior? He's a publican. His name was Matthew Levi. He's the only man we know of in the Scripture when he got saved. Shortly after, he was wealthy. He threw a big party and invited in all the street women, all of his... I believe Zacchaeus down at Jericho attended and invited all of his publican pals in. Boy, you talking about a rock and roll honky-tonk party. Matthew threw one, and all of the scum of society came in. And do you know who was sitting right in the middle of that? Can anybody tell me what his name was? Jesus. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Somebody see you in there won't think that you're a Christian. Amazing, isn't it? And you know who came along and condemned them for it? Religious leaders. What is your master doing in this crowd? They shouldn't be here. And the disciples felt as bad as they did because they'd been taught not to be there. And think we were in a mess. They went to Jesus and said, what are you doing here? He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. So here's this sort of fella. Now, tradition says, not worth much, Matthew had his brains beat out later by a club, a fuller's club, to beat up dye in Ethiopia. Now, that's just tradition. So let's read what he said, Matthew 3:17, Jesus' baptism. Here we go. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Incidentally, that's a 90-mile walk two ways. Some of you wouldn't walk across the street to be baptized. Oh, you've got all the reasons in the world why your great-grandmother said you shouldn't be baptized. Now, from Galilee, he lived in Nazareth. And Josephus made it thousands of times. He said, 90 miles one way. So the Son of God walks 90 miles one way and walks 90 miles back after baptism. Rather important, you think? To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, no, hey, wait a minute. You got this thing wrong. I have need to be baptized of thee. Isn't it interesting that according to that statement, John the Baptist was never baptized? Now, don't tell the Baptist briars that. They'll murder you. John said, you need to baptize me. Apparently, John was never baptized. Boy, doesn't that throw some of our church history books into a tailspin? I have need to be baptized of thee, and do you come to me, comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us, you and I. We're going to do something to show people how all righteousness is fulfilled. We're going to do something. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway. I hope I get time to explain straightway. Out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto Christ, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There you have it. Now, Mark says that God said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Luke said that God said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased. And these nitpickers come along and say, why doesn't it say the same? It all says the same thing, pal. Let me just point this out to you. The four Gospels, each of these men were inspired to write independent of each other. Matthew didn't check out what he wrote with Mark, or Mark with Luke or John, or vice versa. Oh, no. They all wrote absolutely independent of one another. If God had given us all the four Gospels with exactly the same wording, we could throw three of them away and just use one and not have four to plow through. Think. It helps us a lot in the service of God. Matthew was inspired to give some things Mark, Luke, and John weren't, and the other three were that Matthew wasn't. The Lord Jesus performed about 40 miracles recorded in the Gospels in His ministry. But do you know there's only one of them that's recorded by all four? Do you know that? He performed at least 40, but there's only one of them that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four recorded. They didn't record the others, all four of them. You know which one that was? Oh, come on. The miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's the only one that all four of them were inspired to write about. See, learn to study, learn to read, learn to get in God's Word, and after a while it'll jump out there and get in you. And that's where we need it. Now, you know as well as I do, Mark's record of the story is a bit different, yet it says the same. Watch out for these guys who defend the Bible and they say you cannot say things differently in different languages. Now, they don't know anything about languages to make a statement like that. For example, in the Afrikaansian language in South Africa, you're sick, you say, ek is sick. Translate literally, I is sick. In English, I am sick. You can say things different without changing meanings. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ baptized? Now, let me show you this, if I can. The length of Christ's ministry was approximately 3.5 years. The length. How do you figure that? From the Gospels. Besides figure. Let me show you how ministers and true scholars, true academics, not these jerks that don't believe anything about the Bible and they want to change everything. And the Red Sea, what's really Red Sea, should be translated Reed Sea, so they waded through. They never explained how Pharaoh's army drowned in water 6 inches deep, but anyway, you know, they all waded through. Now, the length of Christ, how does one determine the length of our Lord's ministry? Very simple. We determine it by the number of Passover Jewish celebrations that he attended, as are recorded in the four Gospels. In Leviticus 23, we have the calendar, we have the annual calendar of Jewish celebrations. And in that calendar, there are 7 annual events. And in ours, you know, we got Easter, Christmas holiday, George Washington's Secretary Day, we got the whole deal. They don't have a Grandfather's Day. Mom, we ought to cook up one on that and Grandma's Day. So, in that calendar in Leviticus 23, we find, here's the Jewish calendar. There was a thing called Passover. You've heard of that, haven't you? After Passover, unleavened. After unleavened, Pentecost. After Pentecost, there was a thing called trumpets, atonements, and then tabernacles. 7 annual feasts. The Jews still celebrate them today. It's still on your calendar today. It's still there. Now, the Passover was always held either late March or early April. Never failed. They call it Pisgah or Pascha. Late March, early April. Still today. In fact, Passover is the oldest celebration known in human history practiced by a nation. The oldest. There's none any older. Now, the Passover was held only once a year. When I read the life of Christ, I discover how many Passovers he attended in his life. Uh-oh. And I realize from the first Passover to the second is how long? 1 year. Second to the third? 1/3 to 4/4 to 5th. So we do a bit of, you don't have to be smart. You have to read and make notes and write, think, and put it down. So, the Lord Jesus, now I know he attended a Passover when he was a boy 12 years old. But he had not ended his ministry. So we're not counting that one. All right? And he was not there teaching the doctors. That would have been rudeness at its worst. Never. Now, after he entered his ministry, we find he attended a Passover in John 2. He attended another Passover in John 5. And notice the fingers. He attended another Passover in John 6. And he attended another Passover in 13, 14, 15, and they're all the same. So, we got a Passover, a Passover, a Passover, a Passover. So how many years we got? 1, 2, 3. And he was in the ministry about 6 months before he attended his first Passover. Surely, you know, I mean, if you went to the state school, you can figure that out. Can't you? You got it now. He was in the ministry 6 months, a Passover, another Passover, another Passover. So what do we got? We got 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and 6 months. Jesus' ministry was about 3.5 years long. That's how it's measured from the Bible. Got that? So when we talk about why was Christ baptized, remember the Lord Jesus began his ministry by the act of baptism. That's how he started. He didn't start his ministry by getting on a mountain, raising his hand, and performing a great miracle, and the millions rushed to him. You are the Messiah, the Moshiach. Oh, we've come to serve you. No, no. The Son of God began his ministry by baptism. Why? Now, did John the Baptist come out there with a suit on and put a handkerchief over his nose and said, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did he do that? Hardly. The baptismal formula that's used in churches today was unheard of the first 200 years in church history. Did you know that? In about the first 200 years of church history, nobody put a handkerchief over anybody's nose. And you better put a handkerchief over those, you'll drown most of them. I'm not kicking that. About the first 200 years in church history, the formula was unknown, as is practiced today. Now that throws all kinds of spanners in. That makes us start thinking, hey, wait a minute. Let me think. Let me get this thing straight here. All right. Why was he baptized? Now, as I hurry to the answer of that, I want to show you how he was baptized. How? And I better tell you, John did not take a seashell and pour some water on his head. You can credit Leonardo da Vinci, who was a Roman Catholic artist and a painter, and he knew his Bible like I know how to fly a jet plane. That's right. What do you say that for? All you got to do is look at the Last Supper, and they're sitting around in chairs when they all reclined on couches in those days. Go to Sistine Chapel. I've been there and seen it. And people get all up in the air and all frothing at the mouth about these things. Oh, he painted this way and he painted that way. And he's got Judas there holding the bag. It wasn't a bag, it was a box. Glossomon. I'll talk to you about it in just a moment. Why was our Lord baptized? He began his ministry by baptism, so therefore it must have some very important significance for him to start his ministry that would end in providing atonement for mankind. Now, at this... Oh, well, it still goes on today with Jews. In fact, rich Jews still... have a kamos, they still have a baptismal font, a baptismal pool. Rich Jews still have it today. It's all too much to go into. But when the Lord Jesus was baptized, baptism was as common as a cup of coffee is to you. Everybody in Israel had heard of baptism. They all knew about it. Because for over 400 years, the Jewish magistrates and doctors of the law had been performing what was known as proselyte baptisms. They had performed thousands. I heard a preacher say one time that Jesus is the first man to be baptized by immersion. I thought, buddy, you better go back to the drawing board and spend a little time in the library and stop preaching this nonsense. Because prior, before the Lord Jesus was baptized, Judaism was scattered all over the world. All right? When the temple was destroyed in 606, 597, 586, finally in 586 B.C., the Jews were carried captivity. More stayed in captivity than what came home with Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the temple. And they started building their synagogues. Now, listen to this very carefully. And the Jewish people scattered all over the world began to have a tremendous influence on their pagan neighbors. And pagans had never seen a man who loved one wife and was faithful to her and his family. Because pagans could go down to the temple and sleep with the temple prostitutes, and it is accepted religion. And as the pagans went in the temple and sat at the factories and worked beside the Jews, they began to say, hey, Reuben, why are you so different? It's my faith in one God. One God? Why don't you know there are many gods? No, there's just one God. Now, brother, I'm condensing a lot of history here for you. And so as a result of that, the synagogues begin to send people out. They even had a tract called the Sibylline Oracles, written by a converted Greek pagan who was a demon-possessed fortune teller. And the Jews even carried this tract and passed it out wherever they went. And that brought many people into the Jewish synagogue owning the religion of the Jews. But they said, that's fine. But before you pagans get in here, there's a lot of things you got to do. And I don't have time to tell you all, they had to shave their head, trim their nails. They had to renounce their family, renounce their religion, renounce everything. And they had to offer a blood sacrifice. But one of the things they had to do was what? Baptism. Proselyte baptism. That's one of the things they had to do, proselyte baptisms. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, don't think that when Jesus was baptized, everybody says, look at there, he's going to drown. Oh, what are you doing? Don't think that. Proselyte baptism was as common as breathing. Thousands were familiar with what proselyte baptism was. All right? And how did they baptize proselytes? Now, if you want to know, I don't know if he's still there. 5 years ago, Rabbi Rabovich used to be the head rabbi of the big synagogue in Greenville. I've talked to him. I used to phone him. Whether he's there now or not, I just phone the local synagogue, say I want to speak to somebody who's informed and knows, and say, how do you Jews practice proselyte baptism? And you see what they tell you. You see what they tell you. Only by putting them under. Now, so when the Lord Jesus was baptized, they put him under. Now, was he baptized as a Gentile proselyte who had shaved his head, trimmed his fingernails, renounced heathenism, and offered a blood sacrifice? Hardly. Oh, come on, man. Hardly. Was he baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, showing he had put faith in himself and his sins were forgiven? That's blasphemy. Was Christ baptized like our pastor baptized folks here? Never, except under the waters all. So the question looms, why was Jesus baptized? And it looms over us. Now, I did a bit of research through... Yeah, I've got it with me. Okay. I researched seven of the best, most popular commentaries in use. To see, and these are not bad, I'm not kicking them, to see what they would say why Jesus was baptized. And if I call the names of most of them, you'd know them, you students or you preachers would. Now let me read you what the best-selling commentaries say why Jesus was baptized. Number one, one commentary says, he was baptized to set an example. Example for what? He was perfect. He wasn't baptized to set an example. That's a sincere error. Number two, he was baptized to show he was going to join the church. Brother, you got my permission to lay down the floor and roll for an hour on that one. Isn't that idiocy? That's idiocy. He was baptized to show he was going to come into the church. Folks came in the church on the day of Pentecost, brother. And they came in the right way by the Holy Spirit. And they got no hypocrites that way. Number three. Now listen to this one. And they even quote a verse, Hebrews 7:28, Jesus was baptized to wash away any defilement that he may have had. That borders on blasphemy there, doesn't it? Or number four, his was proselyte baptism. Well, I've just explained, the guy that said that didn't read. He's not that. Number five, he was baptized to be inducted into the priestly ministry. Now, this is the one most Baptist commentators use. It's wrong. In the days of Christ and before, Moses appeared on the scene 1,500 years before Christ. The nation of Israel, the Torah law was given, the instruction for the priesthood. Now, let me tell you something. In the Torah law, there was only one tribe that priests came from. What tribe was that? Levi, Aaron. What tribe was Jesus from? Judah. Jesus was not a Levitical priest from the tribe of Levi. He was a unique priest from the tribe of Judah, but not after Levi, according to the order of Melchizedek. Got that? And let me give you one more here. He was baptized as the Gnostics and the Ebionites were baptized. Now, I know most of you don't. Let me just explain that quickly. The Jehovah's Witness baptize their converts the same way today. They practice a Gnostic Ebionite baptism. Well, what's that? The Gnostics were a cult that was going 400 years before Jesus was ever born. All right? And the Ebionites started, they were spread off from the Gnostics. And when somebody came into the Gnostic cult, here's what they did. They said, we're baptizing you after the Lord Jesus. They said, how's that? They said, when Christ was baptized and came up out of the water and the Spirit of God came on him, then he became the Son of God. Steve almost fainted on that one. Then he became the Son of God. Hey, pal, what had he been forever that way past in eternity? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Well, let's see. Guess better wind it up here. Maybe we quit tonight. If I can shut up and we have a few questions on this one. Why was he baptized? He wasn't a proselyte. He wasn't an Ebionite. He wasn't baptized like we baptize today. Why? Now, listen very carefully. The Lord Jesus began His ministry in baptism by illustrating how His ministry would end 3.5 years later by death, burial, and resurrection. You've got that already. He began the beginning by depicting the ending. That's why he was baptized. He began by giving a shadow that 3.5 years later became substance when he died. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, that's why Christ was baptized. Somehow and somehow, I told you Moses lived 1,500 years before Christ was born. You know, 6 months out of Egypt, Exodus 20, 3 months out of Egypt, he got the Torah law, 613 parts of the whole Jewish law. Don't let anybody ever tell you the Jewish law is just the Ten Commandments. Now, the Adventists will tell you that. And the legalizers will tell you that. And Herbert Armstrong's crowd will tell you that. Let me tell you, James said the law is a whole. If you offend one point, you've broken it all. There's 613 parts to the Jewish law. If you break one, God says you've broken the whole deal. Okay? The whole deal. That entire law, all of it, pointed with 1,000 fingers to somebody who was coming. Somebody who was coming. And he pointed to the various aspects of his birth, of his childhood, of his life, of his 3.5 years ministry. Ah, it all culminated at the end of the road in a death, a burial, a resurrection. Last Sunday there was a man here we all know is unsaved, and he came and was talking to me. I send him a card every once in a while on the track, plead with him. The last time I said, please don't go to hell. Very courteously. And he got to talking about these things. He said, now what is all this? I said, now just remember, there's a hole in the ground, and someday you'll be laid there. And I'm not being rude. I said, and the maggots will feed on you. The house you lived in. But I said, the real you will be in heaven or hell. And he said, what can I do about it? I said, there was one man who was put in that hole, and he came out three days and nights later, and he had some keys. Remember Joseph over there when they put him in prison? And I'm telling you, 3 days and nights later, he came out. He said, hey, boys, I got the keys. I'm running the show now. I'm in charge under Pharaoh. I'm running everything. And 3 days and nights later, when that carpenter from Galilee that was hated and despised, when he came out of that hole, John saw him on Patmos and John fainted and got sick. Daniel was sick for 3 weeks. And before John, he shook some keys. He said, hey, John, see these? He said, these are the keys. He said, the guy that's got the keys will let you in or lock you out. He's got the keys. Jesus, why was he baptized? He began his ministry by showing you how his ministry would end. In dying for your sins and my sins, that I should die for, that you should die for. God ought to put us all in a box and send us all to hell tonight. Every one of us. Every one of us. But Christ said, I'll take them all, judge me for them, punish me as though I committed them, make me to be the sin bearer, and God, judge me to the satisfaction of your justice and wrath. And God did. And He's at the right hand now. Isn't it wonderful? That's why we're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you believe in the Scofield Bible. You're nuts if you believe that. I mean, I'm not against that. You're not going to heaven because you had a glorious conversion. Boy, I had a conversion I ought to tell you about sometime. That's not it. We're going to heaven because that man said, okay. You know, John said, hey, I don't want to baptize you. Jesus said, no, John, I'm going to pray. You just be quiet. He said, when I go into that water and come up out of that water, that's going to show people how all righteousness can be fulfilled in them when they believe in my death, burial, and resurrection. And they'll know how you can be perfectly, everlastingly righteous before God because of what I did in death, burial, and resurrection. Let me close with this illustration. I read this in a sort of a police gazette. Somebody touched on it here tonight. And Chicago has a lot of different police precincts. This one here, all everywhere. And one of those precincts, at least 15 years ago, they put out a little sheet, and somebody sent me one of these. Maybe we're still overseas in wherever. And in that thing, a little boy being lost in Chicago, especially the South Side, because you have to go through in a patent tank, I guess, to come out alive without being raped and mugged. And a little boy got lost from his mother. He didn't know what to do, and he was crying. The policeman found him, took him, you know, back to the headquarters. And a little fellow's about 3.5 years old. He couldn't remember his daddy's name, couldn't remember where he lived. He was crying. They gave him ice cream. Now remember, I'm talking about why Jesus was baptized and what He's got for you. And didn't know what to do. And so they waited. And finally, the little boy jumped over the table around him and said, oh, Mr. Policeman, I know what to do. He said, what, son? He said, just down the street from my house is a big church with a cross on top. And says, if you'll take me to the cross, I can find my way home. If you'll come to the cross, you'll find your way home. Let's stand and pray, shall we? Father, we thank You for the honorable book that You've given us. And no wonder the world hates the Bible and hates the man who's its central theme and hates its chief message. Thank You, Lord, that out of a mad world You picked me up back in January 1946. And You picked some of these up too, different times and places. And tonight, Lord, we understand now why Your dear Son, our Savior, was baptized. He was trying to say, hey, everybody look. 3.5 years later is what I'll do for you. Believe in me and live for me. And in this closing moment, as we sing, maybe there's somebody here like the little boy that says, take me to the cross, mister, and I'll find my way home. Maybe somebody will find their way home tonight. In Christ's name, amen.